This morning, folks, we're going to be at Esther, the fourth chapter. So today we know that Schoolhouse of God is what we had this title. And folks, I'd just like to ask, have you ever been taken to the Schoolhouse of God? You say, well, yeah, every one of us was put in the Schoolhouse of God when we started Sunday school and church back 100 years ago, and we're still in the Schoolhouse of God as we learn. That's true. All of that's true. But have you ever been put into a difficult situation where God's telling you what to do, and you're trying to decide, is that what I want to do? You know, there's a lot of difference in doing what God would have you to do, get up on Sunday morning and come to church, or come on Wednesday night, or study your Bibles each day, than it is when he says, I've got a definite thing for you to do, Mike, and I want you to do it. Now, I know what this feels like. You cannot, you can't get it straight in your head that this is what God would have for me to do at this given time, because the consequences of this is going to be so much greater than what it would be if it just didn't happen. Lord, you've got to be thinking the wrong way. You've got to be making a mistake. But that's not God. He doesn't make mistakes. And when he calls us to something and he brings us to that schoolhouse and he teaches us, how do we respond? Well, it's not much different in being in the Schoolhouse of God and being in the schoolhouse when we was in high school, college, whatever. We went to school each day and we heard what the teacher or professor had to say, and then we just dismissed what we didn't want to hear, and what we thought we wasn't going to be graded on, it went out the window, and we went on. And we kind of done things our way. But folks, this is not the way that God intends for us to react. He gives us, each one of us, and I want everyone to know and think about this, he gives each one of us a certain thing to do in life. Now, you might not think, well, he hadn't given me anything to do. He hadn't asked me to do anything that's out of the ordinary, so I'm good with all this. I'm good with the way I live my life and the things I do. But I'm truly convinced, folks, that he gives each one of us an assignment. Now, whether you meet that assignment or not, I think that's kind of your choice. But I think when God has definite assignment for you, he will expect you to respond. And that's where we're at this morning with Esther in the fourth chapter, where we are going to see that Mordecai is telling Esther what she needs to do, but he's only telling Esther what she needs to do because God has laid it on his heart to tell Esther what she needs to do. Not that he's trying to tell her something that's wrong. Now, you remember before we get started that Mordecai had told Esther at the very beginning not to tell anyone that she was a Jew, just to go on about your life. Don't lie to them. Just don't be telling them that you're a Jew of the Jewish family. And so up to this point, she's really, she began to, Ahasuerus had figured out that she was, but Mordecai is telling her now in this chapter that she is going to have to stand up now for the Jewish people. And this is even more confusing for her. First verse, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on burlap and ashes, and went out into the city, crying with a loud and bitter wail. He went far as the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while wearing clothes of mourning. And as news of the king's decree reached all the province, there was great mourning among the Jews. They fasted, wept, and wailed, and many people lay in burlap and ashes. When Queen Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the burlap. But he refused it. Then Esther sent for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to her attendant, had been appointed as her attendant. She ordered him to go to Mordecai and find out what was troubling him and why he was in mourning. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the square in front of the palace gate. Mordecai told him the whole story, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay to the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued to Susa that called for the death of all Jews. He asked Hathach to show it to Esther and explain the situation to her. And he also asked Hathach to direct her to go to the king to beg for mercy and plead for her people. So Hathach returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Then Esther told Hathach to go back and relay the message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in this inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him for 30 days. So Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the place in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief from the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So folks, as we see this story and we see that Esther in the beginning here has not heard about the Jews. She's not heard that Haman has had a decree put out that the Jews would be killed. So she's wondering what in the world's going on with Mordecai. Why is he so distraught? Why is he laying in sackcloth and ashes out at the gate? What is happening? So she gathers him up some good clothes, and she gathers him up some stuff to get cleaned up, and she sends it to him. Mordecai says, no, I'm not taking that. I'm not putting it on. I'm in distress because all the Jewish people are going to be killed. And he tells her eunuch what is happening. And as he tells her eunuch what is happening, he says, you go back and tell Esther that she needs to talk to the king about this to save her people. Well, folks, first of all, Mordecai, like I said a while ago, had told Esther, you don't be telling anyone that you're of the Jewish belief. You're the Jewish family. You just don't tell them. But here he realizes that Haman hated Mordecai so bad. He hated him so bad that he put out a decree for the Jewish people to all be wiped out. Mordecai realized that if this all took place, that God's people would be destroyed, and this was not the covenant of God, and he had to do something to try to change it. So he tells Esther also that if she doesn't do it, then someone else will have to. That might be someone else like us, or that might be God through the Holy Spirit, but somebody had to talk to the king. Well, where would that put you, folks, if you stopped and you think about this? Where would that put you if somebody came and told you, you're fixing to have to go talk to the president, because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. you'd say, he's not going to believe me. There's nothing, no way that he's going to believe me. And besides that, it's against the law. And if I go in to talk to him without having permission, he's going to have me killed. And so that's a good reason not to, correct? It's a pretty good reason not to, because we like to live. We like to live in this old world as it is, even if it's as corrupt as it is. We still like it here. Sometimes it's hard to figure why we would enjoy it being here as we are. But we do, because this is all we know, folks. But the kingdom of God has something so much greater and so much better for us. But we cannot see it. And we hear about it, we read about it, but we don't have the opportunity to have been there, checked it out, and come back thinking, well, we'll go back in another 5-10 year on vacation and hang out there with the Lord. No, that's not how it works. It's so much greater than where we're at. It's so much better than anything that we could ever imagine. But yet, like Esther, we have a hard time responding to what God would have us to do. We have a hard time opening our hearts and realizing that this may be just for a time, just as a time of this will be for us. We may be put here for such a time as this. It's hard to imagine, folks. Hard to imagine. Well, you know, that's a little bit of the same pattern that got Grace Life Church started. It was me getting crossways with the upper bunch of the Methodist Church and them telling me that you're going to have to make a decision what you're going to do. Well, I made the decision. And out of that, me and Brian had already been talking, and the church, Grace Life Church, became, it was starting for such a time as this. Now, I'm not saying that meaning this is the only church like that, because there's been a number of churches that has been started or planted in the last couple of 3 years, even before. In the last 10, 15 years, there's been lots of churches started. And folks, does it ever occur to you that these churches may have been started for such a time as this? Because God did not, he does not want his children to suffer. He does not want his children not to have and not to know what their home in eternity will be like. So he brings us to talk and to tell the message of what we'll actually be like when we have that opportunity to spend eternity with him. Well, as Mordecai, we know that Esther's saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know for sure if this is what I can do or not. But I tell you what, do. Go back and you tell Mordecai for 3 days. For 3 days, we're going to fast. And if you fast, what are you doing? You're praying. And who are you praying to? You're praying to God. Even though they're not mentioning and talking about God, the names are not being mentioned. That's who they're fasting and talking about. And she felt it so important, folks, before she went to talk to the king, because she knew that either at that given moment, if she wasn't offered the gold cup, that at that given moment, she would die. Or she would die when all of her people died. Either way, she's going to die. So she says, for 3 days, let's fast and pray. For 3 days. Now, if I said, for 3 days, folks, we're going to fast and pray, that means 3 days. And I'd also like for you to go home and put on a burlap bag and pour out your ashes out of the stove and wallow in them ashes and just lay around in them for 3 days. How many of us would do it? None of us. Not a one. I bet you would do it. You know, the first thing I thought about was my granddaddy, Kemp. He used to work at Gibson Seed, and that was right behind Tommy Wimberly's business there, parking lot or two down, and Doris Mann had a cleaners, And so I would go with Granddaddy on occasion to work. And when I was at work with Granddaddy, Kemp, and he was working at Gibson Seed, I could go to Darce Mann, get suckers and all kind of stuff from him, come back over there. But then I could also pile up on these bags. They had bags, and they weren't so much on pallets. They didn't have anything to move a pallet with. They just had bags stacked up. And they were burlap bags full of feed and corn and all kinds of things. And I could make me a bed up on this bag, on this stack of bags about yay high. And I could take me a nap. I could hang out and do whatever I wanted to do. Comfortable? Not really, because that burlap scratch you and eat you up, especially in the summertime. And it was pretty rough. And I'd always find myself on those bags playing or sleeping or something every time I'd go. So, folks, it's not fun. It wasn't the best thing in the world to be napping on or playing on because it was really rough. But this is what Mordecai had done. He had placed himself in burlap, and he had placed himself in the ashes, and he was fasting. And for 3 days, folks, these people fasted for 3 days, and they prayed. And so when Esther decides to go in and talk to the king, what happened? The king listened to what she had to say. We're going to next week pick up on what happened as the king hears the Esther's. She prepares a feast, even two feasts, so that she can explain to the king what's going on. We're going to pick up in that next week. But you're going to see, folks, that by prayer, by her being intent on what she was doing to please God, her being focused on God, Mordecai being focused on God, that the plan continues to come together. We're going to see that Haman, he was all about himself, and he thought that he was going to be the great one out of all this. And we're going to see how it all backfires. So we got a lot to come in the next couple of weeks or so. But we see the main thing, folks, that God has taken Esther to school. He has taken each one of us to school. There's decisions in your life you have to make, and you need to be in prayer about them. You need to fast. Now, whether you put on a burlap bag and lay in ashes, that's your business. But you need to fast, and you need to pray, and you need to talk to the Lord about the decisions in your life and the decisions that's being made about our nation and in our country and the decisions that people are listening to the government and them telling them what to do and them following right along. You see, these things are no different, folks, than where we're at today. There's people today that would like to just do away with us, and then they could go on and live their lives. If we wasn't around, then they would have life a whole lot better. It's the same thing that Esther's in. It's the same thing, because if we were gone, if all the Christians were gone, you look at where we're at today, if all the Christians were gone, how much better it would be for them? They would have things just like they wanted. They almost do anyway. Because why? Because we won't speak up as a Christian family. We will not speak up. Same place Esther's at. We will not speak up because we're afraid of what our friends might think, our people at work might think, our family might think. And besides that, it might get me fired, and I can't be without a job. Well, folks, you can argue this if you want to, but I know I'm 68-year-old, and I've never been without a job, and I've had about a million of them. So you can always, always find something. It may not be what you'd like, but it will be something that God will put you there, and He will guide you. And He will place you where you need to be at such a time as this. That's where our faith comes in, folks. Where is our faith today? Where are we at with our walk with God? With our life with God, our relationship with God? Where's your faith at? You know, we just have to stop and we have to think about how God is always there for us. We see that in this story. He's there for Esther. He's there for Mordecai. All you got to do is to make sure that you're doing what God would have you to do. Make sure that you're walking down that path that God would have you to walk. Not something that Mike wants to do. But because for many years, I walked down a path I wanted to walk down. It never got me anywhere. Except, as Tammy says, it made for some good stories. You know, but we never wrote a book, so those stories ain't no good to nobody. Folks, when you follow God, things are so, so much better. Things are just as He would have them to be. And you're following His will. Is there a cost? Most of the time it is. Esther thought for sure that she'd either be killed by the king immediately because she hadn't been with the king for 30 days, hadn't seen the king for 30 days, and he had been with other concubines, and there had been all kinds of ladies coming and going. And for her to walk in there and think she had any kind of authority, she's saying, he's not going to pay me any mind. Because we saw what he done with the first queen. He turned the first queen out. He'll turn me out, or he'll have me killed. But he didn't. He didn't. So folks, sometimes when you think that you don't know exactly how much influence you might be having on someone, you don't know how much influence you might have on the king, or you might have on your next door neighbor, or on anyone that you're associated with. It could be so much influence. So many people are paying attention to you. So many people are listening. But God is directing you in everything you do. So when He's got a situation for you and He's wanting you to do this or that, how many of us have done it? How many have stood up and said, okay, let's do it. Let's go. It's hard to do because we don't understand God's ways. You know, I can stand here and tell you that when that dude told me that I had 48 hours to get back in line with the way he thought, I told him I didn't even have to take 48 seconds. I don't want to be in line with the way you think. That's pretty easy for me to say, isn't it? Because that's what it was. It was just the way it was. But what if, Brian, I'd have had a paycheck of $150,000 attached to it? How hard would that have been? Would I got back in line with him in 48 seconds? Would I got back in line with the Lord as quick as I did? Or would I be stopping thinking, man, I don't think I can deal without this paycheck? I think we're going to have to stop and think about what can I do, Lord? How can I make this happen? Not just, okay, it's going to happen. So you see, we can say that we can do things. You can do whatever you want to do, but we say you can do things. It's easier than you think. But really and truly, folks, in the world that we live in today, there's lots of things that factor in. But the number one factor in your life is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's your number one factor. And when you put Him front and center, just as Esther did, then it will always work. God will make it work when you put God first. Folks, I hope as we continue in this book of Esther, and today as we talk about being in the schoolhouse of God, I've been placed in the schoolhouse of God so many times, and I have begged to get released from it. I've begged Him to release me from it because I can't do this, Lord. There is no way this is going to happen. And He always finds a way for me. He's always found a way for me. That's the only one I can talk about, folks. I can talk about Esther. I can talk about David. I can talk about who's wrote in this Bible. But here on this earth, I can only speak about Mike. He's always found a way for Mike to serve him. If I truly, truly was interested in serving the Lord. If I had him first, if I had placed him first, if I had desired for him to be first, he has always figured out how to make it happen. I didn't figure it out. He figured it out. So we have to stop and we have to think about this. How, being honest with yourself, being honest, first of all, how much do we desire to be like Esther and Mordecai? To serve God in times of hardship, in times of trouble. How much do we really desire to say, Lord, whatever it is I can do in a time that we're in right now. A time such as this. And we're in a time, folks, that I've never seen. You can ignore it. You can say it's not true. You don't have to watch the news. You can do anything you want to do. But we're in a time that I've never seen before. And I think anyone that's my age will tell you it's a time that they've never witnessed in their life. Now, it could have been that bad at different times, but we wasn't here to witness it. But in our lifetime. So today, I want you to stop and I want you to hear this story of Esther and how God brought them to school. And if he brings you to school, will you do like I did most of the time in school, not pay any attention to what was going on, just done what I wanted to do? Or will you pay attention to what he's telling you and serve him? I hope today, folks, as we, as Christians, and you think, well, Mike, we're just 100 or 125, 50 people that come and go through this church, not really going to make a lot of difference in anyone's life. Not go affect the way God thinks. You have no idea. You have no idea until you surrender yourself to serving him. Until you're willing to go in and talk to the king, knowing that you're either going to die that day or die next week when he kills everyone. Until you're willing to realize it doesn't matter if it's today or if it's next week, I'm going to do it, Lord. And we're going to see what happens. When I agree to do it, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be so shocked how he might use you once you surrender to serving him. Stop and think about it as we go back out into the world this week, folks. It's a time of serving right now. It's a time that I've never seen before that you can serve him every day. There is so many people that need to hear the word every day. And you come in contact with them. And a lot of them is just our families. And you need to tell them. But when you tell them, they might not like it. You need to mention to them, you know, maybe your relationship with the Lord is suffering a little bit. If you do, you may not hear from them for a while. And that might not be a bad thing either, but You may get to where that you don't hear from them as much. But folks, there are things that we need to be doing. And the number one thing is promoting the love that Christ had for us. The love that he has for us. Because he loved you so much, he died for your sin. And without that, where would we be today? We would be so lost. So the love Christ has versus the love we have for him, think about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.